Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. This is a unique type of SEO class because we are going to be talking about building an SEO campaign. We're not going to be spending time setting up a plugin. We're not going to be spending time how you deal with title tags and meta descriptions and handle site maps, that type of stuff. That's just regular SEO work. What we are doing is something that you can sell to current clients. You can run a campaign. You can get projects done that are very geared towards specific topics generating traffic. So you'll definitely want to grab the handout that's there in the chat room because that has tons and tons of notes. So you don't have to take notes during this webinar if you don't want to. Now, I know it's been said before, and I know lots of people talk about it, but creating an SEO campaign is way more than simply just installing an SEO plugin, writing out some keywords, some descriptions, making it show up in the XML sitemap, and then just letting it go. That's not a campaign that actually doesn't have a start, middle, finish, goal type thing. And I'm going to make a statement that I am sure there are lots of SEO gurus that would disagree with, but I think an SEO guru doesn't actually have the end result benefit for clients. They have the end result benefit for their own pocketbooks. So this is my statement. An SEO campaign is all about getting results for the site, which means an SEO campaign could mean different things to different sites. Now, rankings are not the end goal of an SEO campaign. Keyword stuffing is not the goal. Tricking the system into getting better traction is not the goal. Getting popular with a specific keyword is not the goal. Results are the only thing that matter. And the result, we understand that by doing step one of an SEO campaign. And I'm just going to put this out there. Do you know what the client wants from search traffic? Forget search traffic. Do you know what a client wants from their website? If your client sells products, I'm going to probably say the number one thing they want from their website is to sell more products. If their website is simply to grow a newsletter list, then that's what it needs to do. That's a result. If their goal is to direct traffic for a local community in terms of where to find things, that's a goal. And Stacy, you're right. Sometimes the client doesn't know what they want. And I think that's part of our responsibility as a developer for them and to push them in that direction. And I would even go so far as to say, all right, client, what do you want this site to do? Or what do you want it for? And let them rattle off something. Say, okay, you mentioned three or four things. You want your brand out there. You want no information. You want an easy access for support. You want to sell more products. If you were to rank those 1 through 4, what's the most important role or service that your website can perform for you? Okay, it's sell more products, and it is going to be provide support for customers. All of a sudden, we've started narrowing down what we need to do to build an SEO campaign because we can pick one of those two and say, you know what, maybe we need to deal with support. Maybe we need to, the product is out there, but we need to get people coming back to the site, seeing how awesome the support is so that when we come out with the next versions, the next product, we have a greater audience to sell to. So, knowing what the client wants from their website, even if they don't know, we need to push them for that because that will give us the flexibility of answering those questions. What messages do you want to get across with the website? Simply doing SEO is not just putting the title tags, the description, that type of stuff. So we now come to step two, how to build your campaign. So if we've already know what the client wants, we then begin what I'm calling step two is keyword planning. Ideally, you would want a list, and this can be on a spreadsheet, this can be on a sheet of paper. You want a list of 10 target keywords that you will narrow down shortly. Now, in order to do some of these things, we need some tools that are out there. And so I have put together a list of three tools. One of them is paid, two of them are free, that you will want to know about. Most everybody knows about the Google Keyword Planner. What most people don't realize is that it keeps changing locations. First, it's under just a Google thing, then it's under a webmaster thing, then it's under advertising, and now it's fully under Google Ads. So I know many of you have heard of Google Keyword Planner, but just to clarify where it's located, if you open your account at Google Ads, and again, you're not going to go buy anything from Google Ads. You're not going to spend any money. You just have to have an account. And you're going to come to Tools and Settings, and you're going to look for Keyword Planner. All of the data that comes here comes directly from Google's search results and from their system. So this is basically always going to be the place that to start from. So when we look at, and again, I'm going to use throughout some of these tutorials, I'm going to use some of this webinar, I'm going to use the word or the keyword or the concept WordPress tutorials to generate different topics that I may want to have a conversation about or build a campaign about. So I typed in WordPress tutorials, and I am then given a list of the popular keywords by relevance as it relates to WordPress tutorials. And what I want to do at this point is I want to basically come up with about 5 to 10 keywords that at first glance I'm looking through here and say, you know what, I might have interest in writing something about that or creating a focused campaign. Or it might, you know, I'm going to find 5 of these words that directly fit the goals of the client website. So I create those 5 words or 5 to 10 words. Again, our goal is to have 10 keywords. So at this point, we're not really looking at competition. We're not looking bid prices, average searches. Right now, in your building an SEO campaign, we are going to be building our keywords. Now, we then want to say, all right, so if these are Google, and this is what Google is searching, is there some other tool that can help me think outside the box? And there is. And a company called HireVisibility.com basically scrapes Reddit, all the different forums, all the different, you know, subreddits, all the different posts that are happening. What are people talking about? And what is important for this? So when I come over here, what we want to do is it's going to scrape the subreddit. So when I start typing that that word, now it's only one word. There is no such thing as a subreddit for WordPress tutorials. So I start typing WordPress, and I only have one subreddit to deal with. This is really cool. How many of you have never seen the keyword Reddit research tool? Anybody not seen it before? Because this will almost revolutionize your SEO work. I click this and I say, get me the keyword search volume on Reddit for WordPress in the WordPress subreddit. This is going to be helpful because people are looking for free WordPress themes more than anything else there. Content management system on that subreddit. But this is where it gets interesting. There, in the third most searched things is internal server error. If you were building a WordPress tutorial site and you're looking at the WordPress Reddit area, you know what? This could be one of the best blog posts that you write for your website or your client's website on how to deal and fix internal server errors in WordPress. And you build that whole thing out. And therefore, now you're going to get, you have something that people are looking for on Reddit, and you can provide an answer. The other thing is, if you provide answers for people, people are willing to share things. And all of a sudden, you can get a groundswell of ready-made traffic who is looking for the answer. And so I thought this was great because Advanced Custom Fields is going to be another one. Here's a great tutorial. How do you clear DNS cache? All right. Custom post types. They're there, but it's also a really good idea of looking at this. Now I can go through and say, let's do tutorials, Photoshop tutorial. If you were going to do something like this, try a bigger subreddit. We'll just grab something that actually has nothing to do with anything funny. These are what people find funny right now. Amazon Fulfillment Center. All right. So the Reddit keyword research tool can give us some outside the box, so then we can put in our list internal server error. We can put into our list custom post types. These are things that would fit within the whole ramification of WordPress tutorials. And then the third one that I want to highlight is KW Finder. Now, this is the premium one, but you can try it for a week for free to see if you like it. But I wanted to point out that they have some really cool integrated systems that, sure, you can use something like SEMrush, Ahref, SEOmoz, all these things. But KW Finder really focuses on keywords and everything that deals with keywords. So this is another premium tool, a lot of functionality, and it has several things that we will refer back to in the course of this webinar. So when I put WordPress tutorials under the keyword, I can do things similar to the Google keyword planner. I can grab locations, languages, related keywords, and I can jump through here to see where's the traffic, what are things that I can build my list. So using the keyword planner, using the Reddit keyword finder, and using KW Finder, we can build that list of 10 words to create our first campaign. Well, once we've built our thing, we need to narrow those down, those 10 words, those 10 keywords, key phrases, down to just the one or two things, and we'll pick one of them to actually build something. So the first thing we want to do is low competition. Yes, you know, I can come over here and I can see WordPress tutorials. I'm not looking for things that are medium level, or if I come over here to high levels. Normally, most of these WordPress tutorials, I'm looking for it to stay under 50 for the keyword difficulty. And there's a reason why we want to deal with a keyword difficulty. So if I come over here, let's do this. Let me do this. I will come over here. Look, let me jump back over here. Let's go here, google.com. So what I'm now looking for is, when I say low competition, I want to actually go to Google. I want to go to Bing. And I don't want to just sit here and look at this. That is, I mean, it's a good quick reference to figure out how many results are working with this WordPress tutorial. But I'm looking for how many high impact or authoritative sites are already showing on page one. Now, and we'll be able to get into this. It wouldn't be too difficult, but where I'm looking for is, let's avoid things that have a lot of Wikipedia. Let's do this. If we do baseball rules, just say you're going to build something baseball rules. What we don't want is something like Wikipedia number one, MLB, all these big professional sites that if you were to jump over there, we don't want to spend too much time with building out a campaign when there's like zero chance for us to get any authority. We can do that after we've built up other campaigns which have enhanced the value of our domain rank. But that's not what we want to do. So I always check here, not only the results, but I actually look at what are the first page things. If I see a bunch of Wikipedia, a bunch of tutorial sites, a bunch of sites that actually are top 100 sites, I'm not going to even look at that campaign. I'm also looking at the keyword KW Finder. Definitely gives you a ranking of difficulty for each one of these. And I want to be careful, especially if this is a new site that's never done SEO campaigns. I don't want to chase a very difficult keyword on the first try because, again, we need to basically teach Google and other search engines that the site we are building a campaign for has benefit of being there, of being an authority value. Then we want to search for high search volume. So this is kind of the trade-off. We want low competition, but high search volume. So when we're looking at this, I can go through here and I say, you know what? 51, again, I'm going to try and stay below 50 using the KW Finder. Oh, I get a 42. And I look at this search volume and I'm like, hey, you know what? Learn WordPress has a slightly, well, not actually a lot harder, a lot more search volume than WordPress tutorials for beginners, but this is a much more difficult key phrase, but this one gets more traffic. So even though this is 42, and sure, I can find some things that are much smaller, like, oh, 21. Learn WordPress development. But then, sure, that's going to be a much easier key phrase to go after. But you'll notice how the search volume is way lower. So it's using tools like this to kind of, all right, let me kind of put a pros and cons on my list of 10 keywords that we're doing. And then finally, there's a third part of helping you filter out your 10 list, customer fit. And I like to say this, especially when it deals with customers. Will this make money for my client? Which means, if for whatever reason you're like, free WordPress tutorials, and you say, that's a great one for me to go after. It's got a low difficulty. It's got a high search volume. But is it going to make your client money? What's the point of the client's going to be like, oh, great, we got more traffic, but my bottom line didn't get affected. So we need to take those three kind of combination of filters, low competition, high search volume, is it a customer fit? And then we take those that list of 10 items and we say, all right, now I'm going to re-rank and we're going to go on to tackling the next level and the next step. And step three is all about producing great content. Now, I started using the word produce instead of build, create, write, promote, publish. And there's a reason why I'm saying produce. Because it's not, you need to write great content. Sure, that's one part of a production. It's not just publishing and finishing with it. This is an ongoing tweaking back and forth process, a production. It's you're producing something. There's different steps. Now, throughout this webinar, I'm just going to say the word pro tip. And these are things that I'm highlighting that if you've got a highlighter and you're looking at the notes, definitely highlight this or make a note to yourself. The number of words in a blog post or page of content is directly correlative to the Google rank position. There have been studies that have shown that the longer the blog post is, basically going up to 2,000 words, the better it ranks with Google search results. It used to be simply, just create a 500-word blog post and you'll be good to go. No, it's now much longer than that. But we don't focus on keyword stuffing or just word stuffing. This is what I say when people say, well, really, how long does it have to be? You should fully cover an entire topic on one page. So say that again. Fully cover an entire topic on one page. That usually requires a lot of words. And if you fully cover the entire topic on one page, your blog post or your page of content is long enough. I doubt you'll be able to fully cover whatever topic in 300 words. That's just not possible. Even Wikipedia articles that are lacking content are way more than 300 words. So we've picked up our keyword that we've chosen, and we're producing great content. But it's not just writing the content. We have to do another pro tip, and that is focusing on visual content. Visual content will be the reason your post succeeds or not. And here's why. And I'll say the statement, you may or may not agree with it. People do not share content or posts. They share graphics or images or visual content in today's world. Today's web world. You notice that? Most people are no longer simply just sharing a post saying, hey, go read this post, it was good. The posts that get traction or the shares that get traction is there's visual content. There's an image that has text on it. There's an image of a, infographic or something. That is how you get your content shared and you get your content getting viability of people staying on the content, reading the content. Because people don't share just content. They share graphics. Now, the other pro tip is authoritative content is king. I know people have said this before. You've probably heard this in tons of different SEO webinars from different groups. They say authority. You always want to make an authoritative piece. What in the world is that? Has anybody ever defined what is an authoritative content according to Google or according to search engines? People have their own ideas. But from everything I can find in the Google support documentation, there's three parts to an authoritative content. It's written, A, by a legit expert, not Miss Sally Johnson, who went to this conference and now thinks that she understands the greatest thing about circle seats over square seats. Now, is she an ergonomic, a doctor focused on ergonomic chiropractic fixes for workplace environment? That's more of a legit expert. Or is it just, I found some cool stuff? Which leads to the second one. Authoritative content is not regurgitated info, which makes it really hard if you're doing like tutorial sites on how to fix internal server errors, because it's all going to be the same. Everybody's got those blog posts that are out there. But is there a way for you to present it in a different manner? So it's not just regurgitated info. And true authoritative content brings something new to the table. Let's use that internal server error issue. Bringing something new to the table could honestly be an infographic where you diagram out what to do when you experience server errors. That's something new. That's something that nobody has repackaged that information into a shareable graphic. And all of a sudden, man, you now have authoritative content because it's not just regurgitating stuff. You're bringing something new to the table. And, you know, if you truly want authoritative content, maybe you're looking at hiring somebody or getting someone to guest post, someone who is a legit expert on the concept. Where it is, if you can get somebody to say, you know, here's a former engineer from DigitalOcean, a company that served 8,000 server, managed 8,000 servers every hour, but whatever, you know, you come up with something where it then is a legit expert who's sharing something. So that is a very important thing. So once we have produced the great content, things like a lot of words, the more words there's a lot of visual content, authoritative content is the king there. We then come to what I'm calling the optimize the site. You might be thinking to yourself, well, SEO optimization is put the title tag, put the description, put a few other things. It's not that. When we are dealing with an SEO campaign where we are saying, all right, I'm targeting, let's just pull one out here. I am targeting, let's go over here to this one. Learn WordPress. Because it's a little low. Actually, let's go all the way down here to a really low one. Learn WordPress development. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to write an article about, let's say I'll write an article, the 10 things you can do today to learn WordPress development for your next career or to establish yourself, or, you know, something like this. So you then put together these 10 different things that you can do. What are the aspects of WordPress development? Are there certain languages that need to be learned, or do we need to learn PHP, JavaScript, do other things? What are the most popular plugins? So learn WordPress development, and then here's where you can go to learn more. So when we optimize the site after we've written and produced this content, we're going to do our first pro tip. Short URLs are king. That's wrong on the handout. The handout says short keywords. It should say short URLs are king. The shorter the URL, the better the Google position. And this is where it comes into things like if we have a blog post, let's just grab one that I know. Okay, here's testing this option. I know it's not going to be very long, but testing this option, we want a shorter URL. So if we're thinking about all this and we're in our SEO, we're doing our title, we're doing our description, great, we've got our great stuff, but how long is this? When we are doing a campaign, we don't want this stuff. We don't want the dates. We don't want anything else. When we are doing a campaign, again, which means you may have to change your permalinks. If you are chasing after specific building campaigns, you may actually have to come over here to permalinks and say, you know what? We thought this was good for a while, but I'm going to have to go this direction so I can get a shorter URL for our campaign. Stacy, URL shorteners used to work, but now Google and all, and Bing and others, they unwrap it. So what shows up on the search result is still your actual URL. Shorteners are very easy to share on social media and share in other ways and make a more uniformed link in your email. So yes, there is a place for shorteners. But when it comes to actual SEO in the campaign, the shortener doesn't provide, from what I've found, doesn't provide any benefit for SEO because they unwrap it. You will not see a bit.ly link on Google search results. And that's kind of where you can kind of see if you look, do search results. Has anybody done? No, they all doing the actual domain result. So if I then jump back over here, this is where if I am building this for, you know, what do we say? Learn WordPress development. I am going to want to make sure that I am editing this Learn WordPress development. I really want, if I can get the keyword as the URL section, that's great. But I don't want it really long. So especially if you have another type of a keyword, maybe you're just doing learn or something. The shorter you can be on that URL is going to be benefit. Here's why. Because the tests of things like Moz and backlink company, there's a whole bunch of companies that are search land. They've got all these stats showing that for the on-site optimization, basically, if you can keep your URL, and that includes the domain name and everything, under 50 words, or sorry, 50 letters, 50 characters, we're seeing more of those appear on the front page. The moment you go over at around 60 characters, well, the moment you get to about 60 characters, you're on page 8. So let me say that one more time. If you're about 50 characters or less, you have a greater chance of being on page 1. 60 characters or more, it's more likely to be on page 8. Now, great question, Chris. Well, what about categories? That's where things like with SEO Studio, when we deal with titles, do we want to do that? No. We'll deal with the titles later because there's something else that you need to do over here. Basically, if you are dealing with categories, making the URLs too long, and it's your final hurdle with SEO, you seriously may need to consider removing categories from here. Or simply saying, all right, this is where we are, and we can't go any further with this aspect of SEO. Because of the way WordPress sets up permalinks, you cannot set some of the posts to be look like this, some of the posts to look like this. If you need something more unique, you have to write your own htaccess file. There are ways to do it, but it's going to be just a mess. At that point, you have to question whether you should use WordPress. Mike, the only thing we are talking about is the URL, nothing more, just what the URL is for those 50 characters. So we're not actually dealing with let me come over here. The tests that were 50 and under were getting on the top page is just this URL. This doesn't have anything to do with it yet. So we want to make sure our URL is as small as we can get it. This one here. Second pro tip. Front load your title tag. You may think this is, oh, it's a cheaty type thing. Chris, to remove the category from the URL, you must change your permalinks to just be post name. Good. Okay, so front load the target keyword. Why? Because at the last SEO conference, the online conference I attended, this was a big thing. It appears search engines are still placing a large amount of weight of the things that are earlier in the title tag. So if you are doing something like learn WordPress development at your own pace or something, you know, creating something, bring that keyword, the target you are looking, to the front of the title. Not just include it in the title tag. Get it to the front. Because we have found that there are stronger weight placed earlier in the title tag. The next thing, pro tip. In your blog post, this is my wonderful 3,000-word blog post. You need to use your, and again, this is all dealing with the campaign. We're doing Learn WordPress Development campaign. Within the first 150 words, I've heard some people say first 20, but most people agree it needs to be in the first 150 words. This is in the handout. Your keyword, that your target that you're doing for the campaign, needs to be there in the first 150 words. Again, you're going to have a 1,500 to 2,000 word document. You need the keyword in the first 150 words. That's normally going to put it in the first paragraph. Then, pro tip for your post. Internal linking helps Google find and index your pages. And also help send link authority around to other parts of your site. So this is, link authority takes a while to build. But if you are cross-linking, so if you start doing, learning WordPress development is an essential goal to the future of any web development job. All right. Well, maybe that you're going to have another blog post about web development jobs in today's job market. And you're going to list off 8 different jobs that a web developer with WordPress could do. Well, we're going to link to that. Maybe we haven't built a campaign around it, but when we do, by sharing this internal linking, our authority within the site becomes important. The other thing I like to think about is, how many of you, when you are writing content or you're writing content for a client, you sometimes will link to another website or another tutorial or a Wikipedia article to give reference or background for whatever, so people can know what you're talking about. If you do that, you've already figured out what your other blog posts are. Rather than linking off to Wikipedia, which does this from our Learn WordPress Development campaign, we're going to link to our own blog post, which explains what's on that Wikipedia article, or which explains how that CSS declaration is found, or whatever. And the final pro tip for optimizing the site, I have found benefit as well as instruction from Google's Webmaster Tools FAQ that it is a good idea to utilize synonyms of the main keyword. So here's an example. Let's say I was going to be writing an article, or my campaign was going to be SEO techniques. So this is what I want to do, techniques. So this is what I am actually targeting. During my blog post, I am also going to write search engine optimization strategies. I will also write something like SEO tips that you should know about. You know, we want to use synonyms that would deal with, if this was my thing, I want to come up with something. Learn WordPress development. I could do understanding WordPress dev practices. You know, understanding WordPress code would be a synonym for learn WordPress development. Does that make sense? So these are things, again, when we take these ideas of optimizing the site, you can take everything we're talking about today about creating a campaign, and you can go back to currently running sites, and you can use this to optimize a certain blog post and say, okay, this blog post is so clearly about car insurance that the client, a certain type of car insurance client is trying to sell, that I'm going to rewrite this using shorter URLs. I'm going to front load the target into the URL. I'm going to make sure that that specific topic about insurance is going to be in the first 150 words. Then I'm going to find where can I link to other parts in the site on this blog post, and where can I insert synonyms for this certain type of insurance, or that they would, you know, protection. You know, just go through and start looking at synonyms. Which leads us now to step number 5. If you are not building backlinks, you are not finishing your SEO campaign properly or strongly. But how in the world can we do backlinks in today's world where simply dropping a link on another person's website no longer works and is in sometimes a penalty? I will tell you, email outreach is probably one of the best ways to reach out to authorities without being pushy and do a specific thing, and you will get backlinks. And it's this: if you are following the instructions in step number 3 on producing great content, one of the things I said was you need to produce visual content that can be shared. So if I email authorities on a certain subject, an authority would be a site that would write a lot of content. Let's just say I'm doing WordPress tutorials, and I wrote an infographic of the best ways to come up with or how to solve your WordPress issues on internal server errors. If I were to send an email to Saeed at WP Beginner and just say, hey, Saeed, I love what you've been doing, constantly training people on the beginner stuff. Hey, congrats on buying All-in-One SEO. Hey, I wanted to get your feedback. I've just put together this infographic on internal server errors. Would you have time, or would you mind if I sent it to you to get some feedback? Notice how I didn't give it to him. I ask something, and if he responds, yeah, hey, send it over. Love to see it. I send him over my finished infographic, and then he can link to it. Say, hey, you know, we're doing this. If you ever want to know about internal server errors, you can check out this infographic made over here by WP Studio. But you can also see, here's the top three things that you can do. Like, he'll go and do his thing. But you know what? He wants to link to really cool graphics. He wants, authority people want to do that type of stuff. Not that they're linking to you. But if you have a really cool infographic or a visual graphic that explains something in a topic that interests them and you, it's one of the best ways to get authoritative backlinks. And it's done, basically, I call it face-to-face, but it's email to email. So then the other thing is anchor links. So when you're over somewhere else and you're leaving a response or a comment, or whether it's a comment or a forum or a thread, or you're having somebody share something, have an anchor link that goes back to your site. But there's key thing. Don't do exact matching anchor text and link text. That means that if I have this, I'm going to do code here, ahref. We'll just call this one our w.com learn WordPress development. Title equals learn WordPress development. This is what people still do. And then around the wrapper, they're doing learn WordPress development, thinking, we have gamed the system. I'm sure some of you guys still see this. WordPress now has, Google has now come out and say, this is wrong. You will be penalized for this. This is one of the things that happened in Panda, the Panda update. No. The yes is keep your keyword in the title tag of the anchor tag, the title. Keep that. But we don't want to just reproduce it here. We want to do something like this. Learn how to develop with WordPress over at WPStudio.com. This is what Google wants, because then Google starts attributing learn WordPress development as, this is what I'm going to find over on WPStudio.com or whatever this link is. So that's where the change has to be done on some backlinking. We cannot have the anchor text and the link text be exactly the same. And then finally, guest posting. It used to be a positive thing. I put it in there in the handout because occasionally it works. It does not, it's not worth your time wasting time to do it. If it comes across your plate and you have the time to do it, it's good to do it, but don't go out of your way to try and find places to guest post. It no longer has the benefit that it used to. Just probably something that changed in the algorithm. All right. So the other thing is, you do need to look at competitors, because when I'm looking at WordPress tutorials, let's just jump over here. Let's see if I can grab this one. Okay, so now we're going over here to learn WordPress development. It's going to be easy, but I need to look and see what other websites are doing. So here's code Toots Plus. And again, this is on KW Finder. There's a number of ways you can do it. I want to see what they are doing. Show me the keywords for this page that they're going after. So I can then start to see, all right, Where are they going after? What keywords are they doing? Where can I find additional school websites that might be dealing with this? Because this is where I want to see if I can get anchor links going from these type of places. Show keywords. I want links from those. That's what I'm trying to do. So build your backlinks. It's got to be natural. Okay. Jumping back to Google Analytics. I know I'm here on the Google keyword plan, but step number six, we have to track everything. Track everything. Which comes to probably what should be step one, but I'm going to call this my pre-step. How many of you have a baseline of traffic for every single one of your client websites? How many of you track baselines? So that if a client says, how's traffic? How's the website doing? You can either say traffic is up, traffic is down, because you know what a baseline is. Do you know on average what visitor bases, how many people visit? If you don't have that, how can you tell when there is a pop in traffic? How can you tell when your SEO is actually working? And then I get this question. How can I tell with Google Analytics if my SEO campaigns are working? Sure, if you have your base traffic, well, what if other things happen? What if they wrote a news article and they were featured in the press and all of a sudden everybody came, but that's going to disaffect my SEO work? That's true. In Google Analytics, when you look at all traffic, the organic traffic is a direct indicator of SEO. How many of you knew that? Yes, organic traffic is coming through the search engine, but that is a direct indicator of your SEO work. So rather than building out these campaign tags that, oh, we'll do this tag and that way we'll be able to log it in Google Analytics and we'll do it. If we're working on one SEO campaign at a time, the end result is a whatever our funnel was if they're selling something, but we can track how the SEO campaign is working based upon organic traffic growth. So we can probably see whether it worked. Now I will say, and I'll put this out there to maybe help you guys, when I do a lot and when I do some SEO work, I tell a client that it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks of work before results show. That's about how long it takes for that organic traffic to actually start showing meaningful change, whether it is higher or lower. Whether that SEO campaign is worth it for us to keep working at it, or whether we have now reached the end of that keyword and we need to move on to the next keyword. I have seen sometimes it takes 2 months and then it all of a sudden kicks in. It all depends on how well the article is written, how the backlinks are happening, whether you've done built stuff that people want to share. And then there's, so the organic traffic in Google Analytics is how we track that. The other place is hopefully you've also connected all your sites to Google Search Console. Because there is a report called Keyword Rankings, and we should start seeing results of that specific campaign. So we should, if we've been doing all these steps, we should start seeing keyword ranking changes in Google Search Console. And if you've been doing all this, you will see improvement on that specific keyword. Again, the end goal is for whatever the client wants for their site. But there is a step 7 that had to be added with the most recent update to Google Search's algorithm. And I'm calling it, gotta kill the zombies. Google now penalizes sites that have low quality pages. What is a low quality page, you might ask? It's a low performance page where there are zero traffic visiting that page. It is a very short article. It doesn't have links, internal links going to it, but they exist in your sitemap. I'll tell you this, people that I have analyzed their analytics and given them a recommendation of this is what you should do, for those that basically deleted all their old non-performing blog posts, just deleted them, saw their search rankings go up. I even read an article about one individual who literally deleted 10,000 pages of content from his website. He had a lot of content because at the time, content was king, just produce lots of content. He saw his site's organic traffic go up 90% because the latest update to Panda, the algorithm for Google, basically said if you have zombie content, your website is not worth recommending. So you may actually want to spend some time on your client's Google Analytics. When's the last time, if it's been 3 years since somebody actually visited a specific page or a post on your client's site, does it need to be there? Eliminate it. If your client is so adamant, you cannot get rid of this, remove that page from the XML sitemap. You'll at least get some benefit, but make sure nothing links to it because Google will still find the zombie pages if you have things linking to it. And that's the 7 steps to creating a campaign. Notice how we didn't put any tracking codes. We didn't have to tell Google what it is that we were doing. We simply planned a keyword. We produced the content. We used a specific optimization on where to put some of the keywords. We wrote content that was shareable, visual content that's shareable. We started building backlinks, and we tracked everything. You will see search rankings and traffic go up if you start these type of campaigns. And again, it's also going to be at least a 4 to 6 week, 2 month project. Which is what, if you want to sell SEO campaign projects to clients, it's going to be at least a 2 month project. I would say it's a 3 month project that each client can hire you for no more than 4 SEO campaigns a year because each one's going to take 3 months. There's the planning stage, there's the research stage, there's all these things. But if you turn around and anywhere from $250 to $2,000, you have found a new revenue stream for that. Now, as a side note, I did mention, for those of you who have stuck around to the end, there's going to be a monster change in the coming years with WordPress and SEO. It's also one of the reasons why I think Michael Torbert did a great job of getting out from underneath all-in-one SEO at the time he did. And you heard it here. I feel that within, it could even be as close to 2 years from now, WordPress will not need SEO plugins. Because the amount of work Google and other search elements are adding into the WordPress code core code as well as Google adding their own XML controls, Google Search Console hookups, all these other things. Having a separate SEO plugin may go to the wayside. And so it's one of those things that I'm watching, and I'm starting to see the indications that WordPress won't need SEO plugins going forward. I could be wrong. Things could change. But just wanted to let you all know so that a lot of the stuff that we talked about today in this SEO campaign, this is going to be like a lifelong, or at least for another few years, this is your blueprint. Focus on this. Things we talked about, things that are in the handout. This will make you successful with your SEO. All right, I hope you guys had a good day, got lots of notes. Don't forget that handout is there in the chat. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to me, and I will get this replay uploaded as soon as possible. Take care, everybody. Have a great rest of your Thursday. And enjoy your weekend if I don't see any of you before then.